headline story on this Wednesday, August 5th, was the incredible debut of George Lombard Jr. And there is something really cool and really special about baseball prospects. It's like no other sport, I guess hockey to a degree. You hear about somebody for so long.
Mm-hmm.
Like in football and basketball, you draft the guy, and then they play.
Yeah, maybe you watch them in college a little right. bit, so you kind of know what to expect when a guy gets here, but once training camp happens, they're on the field.
They're playing.
Or they're not.
There's not that much buildup. With right. baseball prospects, there's that slow build. And we've heard about George Lombard Jr. for a very long time. And last night, he made his debut. And I don't think you could have written a better script. He hits the home run. But more than even the home run, which was cool, just watching him make routine plays. And obviously, the non-routine play, the double play he turned early, you can see the difference.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not a knock on Anthony Volpe or even Jose Caballero.
Why are we even talking about Anthony Volpe? He's never playing shortstop for the New York Yankees again.
That's kind of true.
He might play second.
Maybe.
Depending on what happens with Jazz. But he is significantly inferior.
No doubt. And like, there's a balance here because it's one game.
Right.
It's one game. And we've seen plenty of guys come up in their major league debuts and have a great debut and do very little after that. As a Met fan, Brett Beatty jumps out at me in his first at-bat at a home run in Atlanta. We all know what Brett Beatty's kind of tenure as a Met has turned into. So it's not about overreacting to a game or a home run. It's just you can already see the difference. And I don't know what Lombard's going to do offensively. He's obviously off to a very good start. But the defense, Teague, is what jumped out at me. And it's just an exciting new day for Yankee fans to know, hey, you're going to get to see him every day now.
I agree. And look, I guess I realized watching this game how tall he is.
Tall guy,
I didn't expect him to be that tall, but he looks athletic. He's long. You feel his ease with movement around the diamond. And it doesn't look like a struggle. And again, I agree with you. I don't know what offensively he's going to be like. He got hung a slider. He smashed it, just like his brother did. Basically the same pitch in the minor leagues. But I feel like defensively, we saw this in spring training, and he looked amazing, whether they had him at shortstop or they had him at third base. He was making the hard plays in the hole. He was diving down the line. Like he was able to do what Jeter did, in a sense, which is be compromised in a position, but get his body in the right place to make a play. Whether it was a double play turned or in the spring, we saw him throw one over to first base in a severely compromised spot. Like, his athleticism is what's exciting. And when you have a great athlete in the middle of the diamond, it just makes you feel comfortable right up the middle.
And I'm not comparing him to any of the guys I'm going to say, but I've watched young players, prospects get called up in pennant races and not just make a difference, but help a team win a world championship. Miguel Cabrera always jumps out at me as a teenager with the Marlins many, many years ago. Obviously, the Yankees lost that World Series to the Marlins.
Right.
And Miguel Cabrera was this young, skinny teenager. They bounced him all over the diamond. And the Marlins don't win the World Series in 2003 without having the guts to call up their top prospect.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you have to have the guts, and you've got to give it a try. Now, it's one game, and there's a long way to go, but George Lombard Jr. being an impact rookie for 2 months can be the difference between the Yankees winning the division and not winning the division, and dare I say, going on a deep postseason run.
Yeah.
This was a necessary move by Brian Cashman.
Well, you needed the upgrade. Defensively, you needed the upgrade, and we think we have it because of one game, but still, you know what his history is.
You know you have it, though, because defense isn't,
yeah. You can see it.
And they've already told us the guy was already glove ready to be a shortstop.
Right.
It was like, is the bat ready for the major league?
Right. And so it's not even a debate about whether this was too late in the season or why did it take so long? Because that's my initial thought is, why the hell did this take so long? But then we also know that he had the injury earlier in the year, and it just compromised their ability to bring him up when they maybe needed him most. But when you think now, this is the perfect time for this to happen. Even though, as Sean tried to tell us yesterday, this is just a smokescreen to cover for Brian Cashman not doing much at the trade deadline, this is actually necessary right now. Because his youth, his athleticism, his bat, as we saw yesterday, is going to inject something into this Yankee team. With all that being said, I still felt like this was the same offense.
1,000%. That is being clouded based on 100%. The excitement of Lombard. They needed perfect pitching to win.
Evan, when he hit the home run, I was like, man, all right, maybe this is going to be an explosion. That was it.
Yeah.
That was it. It's like, how many games over the last 2 weeks have we seen them? Wow, three runs in the first inning or a home run in the second inning and then nothing else. Like, they're not fixed yet, but he's a good part of the solution.
Well, he can help. See, if you're going to win games 1-0 and 2-0, and I'm going to give you a crazy stat, or at least I think it's a crazy stat, and sometimes when I give stats, people remember it.
Right.
Big Mac was telling Brian Cashman my stat yesterday, which I appreciate, about always trading for a relief pitcher. This game that the Yankees won last night was the 8th time this season that they won a baseball game while scoring 2 runs or fewer.
Yeah.
Now, it's tough to win games when you score 2 runs or fewer because that means you gave up 1 run or fewer.
Right.
If you're doing the math. So 8 times this season, they've won a game by either scoring 1 run or 2 runs. Last year, this entire season of a year ago, they only won 4 games with that demarcation. So they've already doubled the total, which shows you they're capable of winning these low-scoring games. Well, if you're going to win low-scoring games, what's really, really important? To have buttoned-up defense. What's really important? To not give up outs.
Right.
What's really important? To
bat your best batters at the top of the order.
Well, that too, but your defense needs to be awesome. If you're going to win 1-0 games and 2-1 games, your defense needs to be really good.
True.
They've upgraded themselves defensively by calling up George Lombard Jr. So right off the top, that's a big help. Now, your point is what? The lineup? Yeah, of course.
Runs. My point is, we saw enough in night one. George Lombard deserves more at-bats than Trent Grisham. Sorry.
Do you want to lead him off already?
Don't care how aggressive that sounds. Don't care how idiotic it sounds. These are pressing times.
It's one game, Sean.
It's one game.
It's one game.
And it's been an entire season of Trent Grisham hitting leadoff. I'm comfortable enough. Let's go. Let's see what he can handle. I don't think that takes any more pressure. Just a spot in the order. I want to see him hit more than Trent Grisham.
I don't hate it, by the way. Like, I think each individual is different. I remember when I was screaming on the radio, this is crazy that I did this, but I did. I was screaming on the radio that Anthony Volpe needed to lead off a few years ago when he got off to a good start. And you guys were against it because we were going to put too much pressure on Anthony Volpe.
How is it too much pressure?
Well, but no. That was your argument against me.
I know, but I've thought about it.
Then Anthony Volpe led off. I got what I wanted. I screamed like a baby, got what I wanted. Volpe struggled, as was never the same since. I tend to not believe that the pressure is going to get to the player. I also think players are different. Some players can handle it. Some players can't. I happen to think a guy, even though his father was not an all-world major leaguer, he was a major leaguer. He was a utility player at the major league level.
Right.
I almost believe the sons of major leaguers are going to be more prepared for the adversity of Major League Baseball than anybody else.
Yeah, and only because you've been talked through it. You've heard it over and over and over again. So it just gets ingrained in your mind when whatever moment your father had been describing some years ago when you're in your impressionable years, it just sticks with you. And you don't overreact, or you stay calm in whatever moment that matters. And I think that's the advantage that comes from having a father and someone who really cared about your development as a baseball player in your corner all your whole life. Right, every step of the way, he's able to give you methods, ways to cope with the stresses of sport.
So I think he would probably be more equipped to that quick rise of leading off almost immediately.
Maybe.
I'm not saying I would definitely do it, but I'm not against it. I don't think Sean's a crazy man for suggesting it, because the Yankee offense, which is better via the call-up and better via acquiring Elliot Ramos and better for acquiring Luis Garcia Jr., it's still a problem.
Yeah.
They scored 2 runs last night.
Right.
And Teek, you're right. I'm watching this game, and David Bednar deserves a lot of love for the way he got through the 8th inning and dominated the 9th inning. And he's been awesome really ever since the 2 struggles he had against the Mets, and then soon after he had another lousy outing. He's been almost perfect since then. They still didn't score runs. They needed perfection from their pitching and defense to win.
Right.
And so
by the way, the runs were 2 home runs.
No, I get it.
It's not like they manufactured 2 runs.
No, nothing really changed last night other than the excitement of Lombard. So any lineup suggestion, I'm not going to scoff at. Like, if you're ready to say, screw it, let's lead off George Lombard, why not?
I'm just putting it out from this standpoint. We've been talking about the Yankees' lack of a leadoff hitter forever, and they quote lightning in a bottle. Trent Grisham's not that. He hasn't been that all year. It's not his fault. He's back to being who he is. I just want to see guys get more at-bats to try to jumpstart the offense. And also, before the major leagues gets the book on how to get George Lombard out, and they will because every baseball player goes through a slump, let's catch this lightning with a bottle. Let's see what happens for 2 weeks. Let's just throw everything at him. I think he can handle it.
There is one negative from last night's game. It bothered me. I'm over it now, but I was bothered last night just to capture the moment. And I'm curious if you guys can guess what pissed me off about something that happened in last night's New York Yankees game. Go ahead, Tiki. Kind of annoyed me. Tone deaf. That's my hint. Tone deaf.
I have no idea.
Yeah, no idea. Yeah, tone deaf. Kind of annoyed
I'm
me.
I'm lost.
Yeah, bothered
it
me.
It sounds like this is a broadcast.
No, nope. Broadcast was fine. Ryan Rucco's awesome. Paul O'Neill's great. Dave Sims on the radio. Susan Wallman on the radio. No problem with them. But it was something tone during deaf. The game that just, I didn't like
it's
it.
Very nasty.
Yeah, I would say it was a very nasty, tone deaf move. And if I'm Aaron Boone, I would consider benching this player.
Nasty tone deaf move.
Yes.
This is some tease. Okay.
I don't know.
Austin Wells. That son of a bitch. So George Lombard Jr. hits a home run.
Oh, okay.
The crowd is electric. It's going nuts. And the Yankee fans are screaming. They're yelling. Austin Wells needs to step out of the batter's box, the curtain call, and instead, Wells, that selfish pig, is in the batter's box and he swings at the first pitch and he rolls one over and the crowd dies. Austin Wells, and you know, Austin, if you're listening, I'm half joking. You're not a terrible guy.
You're definitely joking.
You were stuck in the moment.
What the hell you were talking about.
You were stuck in the moment. Step out of the box and allow Lombard to have his moment.
That absolutely happened.
Thank
and if
you.
I can, I'm going to semi-defend Austin Wells from this standpoint. I think Austin Wells, off of the night he had earlier, and we were talking about the relaxation, about training for a catcher, and look, whatever you want to argue about that, and God knows I did.
Right.
I think he's going up every at-bat just focused on him right now, and he's not even thinking about what the hell just happened.
Yeah, selfish.
And I think that's exactly what happened.
That was a selfish move on his part.
Yeah, yeah.
So you agree with me?
I do agree with you.
Of course it's selfish, but you know what? He needs to be selfish right now. Austin Wells has to find a way to not be incompetent at the plate. So be selfish. Actually, you know what? Maybe he shouldn't. Maybe because I think he probably has been selfish. Just think about, look at everybody else in the stands. Don't even look at the pitcher. Just like swing randomly.
The crowd is electric. And why wouldn't it be?
Right.
Major league debut, home run, top prospect. They're begging for a curtain call, and this guy can't call timeout. Because your timeout's so valuable? You're going to swing at the first pitch anyway.
Was Lombard about to come out?
Yeah, I think so,
Somebody would have pushed him out of the dugout, and it would have been cool. And those fans were dying for that last night, because immediately as soon as the game ended too, having watched all these Yankee games all year, that was the most in unison I heard a crowd kind of stick around to sing New York, New York, as George Lombard is basically getting interviewed outside like the stadium. Like, wanted that curtain call. They were ready to burst last night.
Because, and I heard Gio say it this morning, I echo his point, as baseball fans, one of the most exciting things that can happen to you is a prospect being called up, a top prospect that you've heard so much about, and then performing, because it gives you a sense of hope. And in the Yankees' case, it's not desperation hope, because you're a playoff team right now. I wouldn't use the word desperation.
No.
It's the excitement that he can make a difference. And also, and again, I hate to bring this up because I feel bad, and that today will be the last time any of us do it. You just watched Anthony Volpe force-fed down your throat for 3.5 years.
Well, no,
and this feels
like
a steak.
Really a year and a half. The first year and a half was fine.
First year you're talking about was fine?
With Volpe.
When he won the Gold Glove, or was it Gold Glove caliber shortstop?
Yeah, that was fine.
Okay.
That's the problem. The word is fine.
It
was fine.
But it wasn't like, I'm choking on Anthony Volpe. It was like, he's good.
He's
not nearly up to the hype, but he's a good player.
There is one other thought, and I'm going to be a bad guy when I say this, but it's just I'm asking the question because I was thinking about this. I think of all angles as I'm watching these games. George Lombard Sr., good dude, man. He comes across like a great guy. His wife, Judy, comes across like a great mother. George Lombard Sr. is a guy I mentioned to you, is a managerial candidate. And why wouldn't he be? I thought when he was interviewed, sounds like a guy who knows his baseball, raised two awesome sons. His other son made his professional debut. I got nothing against George Lombard Sr. Also went yard in his professional debut. He's probably going to interview for the Met job next year.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's the bench coach of the Tigers. He's a hot managerial candidate. I've said this before. This isn't new.
Took last night off.
But is it kind of my point. Is it kind of a turnoff that the guy missed the game?
No, hell no. Hell no.
Okay, that's what I'm asking.
You can't scratch if you're that. Bruce Arians used to say, you guys remember Bruce, obviously.
Yes.
Great dude, great coach, won a Super Bowl with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. He used to tell his coaches, if you miss one of your kids' major event, whatever it may be, I'm going to fire you.
Mm.
Right? And so you got to give credit to the Detroit Tigers for allowing him to come see his son's debut. Because this is a big deal, dude. Like, your son is not only making his major league debut, he's making his major league debut with the New York freaking Yankees.
No, I get you. So it's a huge deal.
You have to be there.
I'm just saying,
like, it's like seeing the birth of your son.
Oh, okay.
Seriously.
That's what I'm asking
from
you.
From a professional standpoint.
Okay.
It's on par with, on a personal standpoint, seeing your son born.
So I asked the question because I just wanted to know.
Now,
on the fence.
You were trying to throw shade.
No,
stop
no,
it. I'm trying to throw shade.
I'm asking a question because.
It's a game.
No.
Come on, Evan.
Tiki. I was asking a question.
When Jet makes it to the, I don't know, he's in the WWE. And he has his debut match.
Am I going to miss Evan and Tiki? Yes.
And you're going to, whatever it is you're doing at that point, you're going to miss it. I promise you.
I understand that you're being, like you think I had a certain opinion. I was asking the question, but I could tell you this. If you rewind the tape of this show.
I didn't even think about that.
Sean was jumping in on this. I think he has a problem with it. No, and now he's going to be scared off because of how passionate you are.
No.
Go ahead, Sean.
I have a problem. No way you have a problem.
Here's the thing. I have a problem. People have a problem with it because this is not one of those.
Uh-huh. Right.
This is not one of those, like, you should never do this. I think under different circumstances, I could have. You can't look at George Lombard Sr. after you just traded away Skubal and Mize 2 days earlier and then tell him this matters more than you go watching your son the first day. So that would be my answer to that. Your organization sold. He's allowed to miss a day.
That's an interesting point.
Yeah, it's a great point,
if
actually.
If they're leading the AL Central,
but you're right.
And they just bought? Yeah, we need to be focused here, George. That was not the case in Detroit.
Meanwhile, the Tigers are in a playoff race, and they won last night without George Lombard Sr. on the bench.
What does that say?
What are you saying?
I was more thinking
now
about
you're
it.
Really throwing shade.
No,
what's wrong with you?
They
don't even need your ass.
They don't need him. Anyhow, Yankee fans, how excited are you? 888-808-1019.
Brian Cashman's got a boner.
I'm sure he's excited, too. I think a lot of Yankee fans are. So we'll get your thoughts on Lombard's debut. The other big story that just broke is the ever-going feud between Juan Soto and Francisco Lindor.
Is it still a feud?
Well, a new report has emerged that there was peace made, and a key Met was behind the peace meeting between Lindor and Soto. We'll get into those details.